Good morning and welcome to the Friday, May 24th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a podcast that is dedicated to prayer, devotion, scripture reading, and Bible study. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. There's a lot of great listening over there, over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topic areas, all covered from a biblical worldview. My brothers and sisters in Christ out there doing some great work for the kingdom, so I would encourage you to get on over there. I will guarantee you're going to find something over there you want to listen to, and it's really, really possible, and I say this from experience, that you're going to find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. All right, well, So last night, so you're going to have to excuse me, I may be just a little bit dopey right now. So I'm recording this Thursday night, before I go to bed, and of course I recorded Thursdays, Wednesday night before I went to bed. Of course, we had taken a dog to the vet earlier in the afternoon and had taken care of stuff with that. We have two dogs. Well, middle of the night, the other dog got my wife up 12:30 at night. And then he got me up at 1:30. Now, he doesn't come to get me. I hear him whining at the gate. We keep a gate up. We don't let our dogs wander randomly through the house because we've got an up and downstairs and all that stuff and just don't want them getting into stuff. And so I take him out and then we go back upstairs and I'm realizing this is not normal. It's one thing. He's done that before when he's, you know, didn't go out when I put him out the last time at night, didn't actually do his business. Yeah, well, I'm realizing, oh, this is not normal. So we came back in, tried to go back up. Well, it's not 20 minutes later, and we're back downstairs. And at that point, I realize this is 1:30 in the morning. Well, 1:50 in the morning. It started at 1:30 in the morning. 1:50 in the morning, I'm realizing this is going to be a long night. So I've basically been up since 1:30 this morning, and it is now 9:15 at night. And I was finally able to catch about an hour and a half nap somewhere in there. He was not feeling well. It was kind of coming, not to be gross, coming out of both ends. But we've got him settled down. He's doing much better. But needless to say, it's kind of been a long day. So you're going to have to excuse me. I may stumble over my tongue a little bit. Our reading is not very long today. I'm very grateful for that. Just so I can get this out to you and make sure you've got something for Friday. I'm probably going to talk a little bit about something as we get to the end of the episode, but I just wanted to let you know if I'm stumbling over my words a little bit, it may be because of that, because I'm a little low on sleep, but he's doing much, much better. He's being able to take in some bland foods and hold on to them. So, you know, we're okay. You know, he's okay. But yeah, he and I had a little bit of a long night. We spent at one point almost 2 hours just sitting out in the backyard in the dark. Because that way we weren't going in and out and in and out. And honestly, I was sitting out in the backyard reading my Bible and reading John MacArthur's commentary of the Gospel of Matthew. So I was trying to do my best to redeem my time wisely. So, and it was actually funny. I cracked up because all of a sudden I was out there reading it, trying to read it in the light from my patio, and I'm not actually on the patio. So I've got the book turned to cant to catch the light. Well enough so I can read it. I've got it almost up to my face, and I realized that about redeeming the time, and I started chuckling. So, anyways, little bit of a side note, but let's go ahead and get going. We're going to be doing our reading for today, and again, we're continuing. We're just doing the reading for now to give me some time to get some other stuff prepped and taken care of, so we can get into the epistles of John. But let's go ahead and open up this morning with the 6th day morning prayer. It's called the Gospel. Let's pray. O thou most high, creator of the ends of the earth, governor of the universe, judge of all men, head of the church, savior of sinners, thy greatness is unsearchable, thy goodness infinite, thy compassions unfailing, thy providence boundless, thy mercies ever new. We bless thee for the words of salvation. How important, suitable, encouraging are the doctrines, promises, and invitations of the gospel of peace. We are lost, but in it thou hast presented to us a full, free, and eternal salvation. Weak, but here we learn that help is found in one that is mighty. Poor, but in him we discover unsearchable riches. blind, but we find he has treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We thank thee for thy unspeakable gift. Thy Son is our only refuge, foundation, hope, confidence. We depend upon his death, rest in his righteousness, desire to bear his image. May his glory fill our minds, his love reign in our affections, his cross inflame us with ardor. Let us as Christians fill our various situations in life. Escape the snares to which they expose us. Discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances. Enjoy with moderation their advantages. Improve with diligence their usefulness. And may every place and company we are in be benefited by us. Amen. All right. And our devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for May 24th, the text is from Psalm 66:20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer. In looking back upon the character of our prayers, if we do it honestly, we shall be filled with wonder that God has ever answered them. There may be some who think their prayers worthy of acceptance, as the Pharisee did, but the true Christian, in a more enlightened retrospect, weeps over his prayers, and if he could retrace his steps, he would desire to pray more earnestly. Remember, Christian, how cold thy prayers have been when in thy closet thou shouldst have wrestled as Jacob did, but instead thereof thy petitions have been faint and few, far removed from that humble, believing, persevering faith which cries, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Yet wonderful to say, God has heard these cold prayers of thine, and not only heard but answered them. Reflect also how infrequent have been thy prayers, unless thou hast been in trouble, and then thou hast gone often to the mercy seat. But when deliverance has come, where has been thy constant supplication? Yet notwithstanding, thou hast ceased to pray as once thou didst. God has not ceased to bless. When thou hast neglected the mercy seat, God has not deserted it. But the bright light of the Shekinah has always been visible between the wings of the cherubim. Oh, it is marvelous that the Lord should regard those intermittent spasms of importunity which come and go with our necessities. What a God is he thus to hear the prayers of those who come to him when they have pressing wants, but neglect him when they have received a mercy, who approach him when they are forced to come, but who almost forget to address him when mercies are plentiful and sorrows are few. Let his gracious kindness in hearing such prayers touch our hearts, so that we may henceforth be found praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All right, well, our reading today is from 2 Samuel 24, 1 Chronicles 21, Romans 4. I've kind of noticed they intersperse the Chronicles, and I think they're trying to do it in this reading plan where the Chronicles passage fits with the Samuel passage, the 2 Samuel passage, I think, or at least partially does. But let's see. So, like I said, 2 Samuel 24, 1 Chronicles 21, and Romans 4. So, 2 Samuel 24. Hear the word of the Lord. And again the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel, and it incited David against them to say, Go, number Israel and Judah. So the king said to Joab, the commander of the military force who was with him, Go about now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and take a census of the people, that I may know the total count of the people. But Joab said to the king, Now may Yahweh your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing? Nevertheless, the king's word stood strong against Joab and against the commanders of the military force. So Joab and the commanders of the military force went out from the presence of the king to take a census of the people of Israel. And they crossed the Jordan and camped in Aroer, on the right side of the city that is in the middle of the valley of Gad, and toward Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to the land of Tatim Hodshi, and they came to Dan Jaan, and around to Sidon, and came to the fortified city of Tyre, and to all the cities of the Hivites and of the Canaanites, and they went out to the south of Judah, to Beersheba. So they had gone about through the whole land, and they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave the total count of the census of the people to the king. And there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. Then David's heart struck him after he had counted the people. So David said to Yahweh, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Yahweh, please take away the iniquity of your slave, for I have acted very foolishly. Then David arose in the morning, and the word of Yahweh came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and speak to David. Thus says Yahweh, I am offering you 3 things. Choose for yourself one of them, and I will do that to you. So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, "Shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land, or will you flee 3 months before your adversaries while they pursue you, or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now know and see what word I shall return to him who sent me." Then David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Let us now fall into the hand of Yahweh, for his compassions are abundant, but do not let me fall into the hand of man." So Yahweh sent a pestilence against Israel from the morning until the appointed time, and 70,000 men of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. Then the angel sent forth his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, and Yahweh relented of the calamity and said to the angel who destroyed the people, "It is enough, now relax your hand." And the angel of Yahweh was by the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. Then David spoke to Yahweh when he saw the angel who was striking down the people and said, "Behold, it is I who have sinned, and it is I who have done unrighteousness. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and my father's house." So Gad came to David that day and said to him, "Go up, erect an altar to Yahweh on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite." So David went up according to the word of Gad, just as Yahweh had commanded. And Arauna looked down and saw the king and his servants crossing over toward him. And Arauna went out and bowed his face to the ground before the king. Then Arauna said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to Yahweh, that the plague may be checked from being upon the people." And Arauna said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what is good in his sight. Look, the oxen for the burnt offering, the threshing sledges, and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. Everything, O king, Arauna gives to the king." And Arauna said to the king, "May Yahweh your God accept you." However, the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to Yahweh my God, which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Then David built there an altar to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Thus Yahweh was moved by the entreaty for the land, and the plague was checked from being upon Israel. 1 Chronicles 21. Then Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the princes of the people, "Go count Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me word that I may know their total count." But Joab said, "May Yahweh add to his people 100 times as many as there are, as they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why does my lord seek this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word stood strong against Joab. So Joab went out and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the total count of the census of the people to David. In all Israel were 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah was 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not number Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's command was abominable to Joab. And this thing was displeasing in the sight of God, so he struck Israel. Then David said to God, "I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing, but now please take away the iniquity of your slave, for I have acted very foolishly." And Yahweh spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and speak to David, saying, 'Thus says Yahweh, I am offering you 3 things. Choose for yourself one of them, and I will do that to you.'" So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says Yahweh, take for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be swept away before your adversaries while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or else 3 days of the sword of Yahweh, even pestilence in the land, and the angel of Yahweh destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. So now see what word I should return to him who sent me." Then David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Let me now fall into the hand of Yahweh, for his compassions are exceedingly abundant, but do not let me fall into the hand of man." So Yahweh sent a pestilence against Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. But as he was about to destroy it, Yahweh saw and relented concerning the calamity, and said to the destroying angel, "It is enough, now relax your hand." And the angel of Yahweh was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of Yahweh standing between earth and heaven, with his drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, covered with sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Is it not I who commanded to number the people? Indeed, I am the one who has sinned and done a great evil. But these sheep, what have they done? O Yahweh my God, please let your hand be against me and my father's household, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." Then the angel of Yahweh said to Gad to say to David that David should go up and erect an altar to Yahweh on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he spoke in the name of Yahweh. Now Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves, and Ornan was threshing wheat. Then David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David and went out from the threshing floor and bowed his face to the ground before David. Then David said to Ornan, "Give me this site of this threshing floor, that I may build on it an altar to Yahweh. For the full price you shall give it to me, that the plague may be checked from being upon the people." And Ornan said to David, "Take it for yourselves, and let my lord the king do what is good in his sight. See, I will give the oxen for the burnt offerings, and the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give everything." However, King David said to Ornan, "No, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not lift up what is yours to Yahweh, or offer a burnt offering which costs me nothing." So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the site. Then David built there an altar to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And he called to Yahweh, and he answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. Then Yahweh spoke to the angel, and he returned his sword to its sheath. At that time, when David saw that Yahweh had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. Now the tabernacle of Yahweh, which Moses had made in the wilderness, and the altar of burnt offerings were in the high place at Gibeon at that time. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was terrified by the sword of the angel of Yahweh. Romans 4. What then shall we say, that Abraham our forefather according to the flesh has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not counted according to grace, but according to what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes upon him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, and whose sin has been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Therefore is this blessing on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also. For we say, faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be counted to them. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. For the promise to Abraham, or to his seed, that he would be heir of the world, was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith has been made empty, and the promise has been abolished. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no trespass. For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be according to grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "A father of many nations have I made you," in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, So shall your seed be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised he was able also to do. Therefore it was also counted to him as righteousness. Now not for his sake only was it written that it was counted to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be counted, as those who believe upon him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over on account of our transgressions and was raised on account of our justification. All right, well, that is our reading. Like I said, it was kind of a short one for the day. I thank you for spending your time with me. I continue to pray that this time together in the Word helps us all to stay more and more saturated in the Word of God. I hope you have yourself a great day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. I hope you have yourself a wonderful weekend since we're heading into the weekend. If you don't already have plans to worship with the saints, please worship with the saints. If you are physically unable, please join us. We broadcast live on Facebook at Vail Valley Baptist Church and on Twitter, or sorry, X, at vvb.church. We start at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So please join us if you cannot physically worship with anybody else. We would love to have you. Of course, we would rather have you in person, either with us or with a local solid congregation there in your area. So, you know, we would definitely encourage that. I want to remind you of our conference coming up, and I'm sorry, I need to bring up the... Sorry, I need to bring up the flyer here. I meant to do it before and forgot about it. Our conference, Christian Responsibility in an Unchristian World. It's August 8th through the 10th here in Vail, Arizona, on the campus of Vail Valley Baptist Church. You can find our website at vvb.church. The flyer is right there on the homepage. Just click on it. That will take you to the, what's the website called? Sorry. To Eventbrite, where you can register for the event. It is $45 to register. We are going to be evening on the 8th, full day 9th, full day 10th. So we'd love to have you here. Some great speakers coming. I can't tell you how excited for the people I'm going to get to hear. I'm very, 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 like I said, very, very excited. I'm very, very pumped up. But again, our address is there for you to come join us. We would love to have you join us. There are definitely still seats available. Please, please, you will not get a conference of this size and magnitude and deepness of theology for this kind of money. It is definitely a steal. So if you're anywhere near the area, like I said, please come join us. All right. Well, I hope you have yourself, again, a wonderful weekend. Let's go ahead and close out in prayer. We're going to close out with the six-day evening prayer. It's called the Mediator. Let's pray. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we hope in thy word. There we see thee not on a fearful throne of judgment, but on a throne of grace, waiting to be gracious and exalted in mercy. There we hear thee saying, not depart ye cursed, but look unto me and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. They that know thy name put their trust in thee. How many now glorified in heaven, and what numbers living on earth are thy witnesses, O God, exemplifying in their recovery from the ruins of the fall, the freeness, riches, and efficacy of thy grace. All that were ever saved were saved by thee, and will through eternity exclaim, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and truth's sake. Thou hast chosen to transact all thy concerns with us through a mediator, in whom all fullness dwells, and who is exalted to be Prince and Savior. To him we look, on him we depend, through him we are justified. May we derive relief from his sufferings without ceasing to abhor sin or to long after holiness. Feel the double efficacy of his blood, tranquilizing and cleansing our consciences. Delight in his service as well as in his sacrifice. Be constrained by his love to live not to ourselves but to him. Cherish a grateful and cheerful disposition, not murmuring and repining if our wishes are not indulged, or because some trials are blended with our enjoyments, but sensible of our desert and impressed with the number and greatness of thy benefits. May we bless and praise thee at all times. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you Monday. Have a good one. God bless.